Father. Dear Mita. Brought to you by JM Synthetics online at jmsynthetics.com. Let's bring in the man, the myth, the legend, my father. Father of
mine, take me back to the good morning.
Dad, how are you?
I'm doing well. And how about yourself and your family?
Doing great, Dad. It always makes me smile when I hear your voice.
Thank you. God bless you. You crack me up, buddy.
Well, so this is great. I'm going to see you for a little bit at least coming up this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what day are you coming anyway?
Well, Dad, me and let's see. It's going to be me, Diana, Jim, Jackie, Madison, and two boyfriends.
And you're all coming in the same vehicle?
Yeah, we're going to be in the motorhome.
Going in where?
We're going to drive to Detroit in the motorhome, and then Friday we're going to my nephew's wedding.
Yeah.
And Saturday. Well, the wedding is Friday.
Friday.
Correct. And then after the wedding, the motorhome is going to drive into your driveway. We're going to go to bed, wake up, and see you on Saturday.
Okay. You're spending a day with us here?
Actually,
or something?
I would love to, but Jim, my son, has to get back. So I don't know how late we can stay, but we're still going to be able to see you and maybe have some pancakes or something.
Hey, no pressure. You know, you do what you have to do, honey. Don't worry about it.
Right on. And then, of course, we're looking ahead to Thanksgiving.
The same fees that we always charge, you know, for parking.
What did Joanne say?
Oh, wait a minute. What?
Is Jim and Sandy coming here?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, they're going right to the wedding.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's their plan. A little bit of a different plan. You know, when I started the show today, it was 33 degrees. And right now I'm looking, you know how like it gets colder as the morning goes on before it starts to warm up? It's 29 degrees here right now.
How many?
29.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it's coming, Dad.
Well, hey, when you sit there where you're like, oh, picnic table day, when we all get together.
Yeah.
I mean, I rake that place up almost every other day.
Yeah?
Just a few leaves coming down. I'm getting so sick of that.
Wait a minute. So you're like picking the leaves up one at a time when they fall?
No, I rake them. There's a big bunch of leaves, but nothing is changing in the amount of leaves that are coming down.
Oh, I got you. So, you're not really the type of guy who just waits for them all to fall? You're going to...
No, I kept going every other day or so I rake them.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, some people just wait for them all to fall. Why don't you do that?
Oh, man, no, that looks terrible. Well, Joanna says she loves the leaves.
Now, Dad, this is very similar to your philosophy, the ritual about piles of snow.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, my God.
Because if I remember correctly, if you have piles of snow, when the days start to warm up, don't you take shovelfuls and throw them around your yard?
Yes, I do. Oh, my gosh, that's hard.
So that they'll melt quicker?
It's what?
So, and you do that so it'll melt quicker?
Well, yeah, that's why I spread them out so they can melt. But, I mean, my neighbor come out, and he got a big blower.
Yeah, I know.
They pile them up right there, and as long as they clear the driveway, they figure it's all right. But
yeah, it is.
All right, but I don't like that. I like to...
Wow.
Shovel them all off around. Oh, man, I work. Well, actually, it gives me something to do.
Well, exactly. It's something to do, and then your yard. And so basically, if you do that on the first warm day, everybody else has 3 feet of snow in their yard, and yours looks like the tropics with palm trees.
That's funny. I know. I got some weird thing about me. So
No, it's good. It's good. All right.
I just like neatness, that's all.
No, I get it. I'm not... I certainly understand.
Yeah, well, you can ridicule it, though, but nothing changes. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, Dad, are you ready for some questions on Dear Meathead?
I sure am. By the way, I was going to make a comment. You know, you got the most beautiful audience in the world, you know?
Oh, they just love everybody. They're absolutely fantastic.
They're just great people. Great. I mean, there's a whole group of them that I especially love them.
Oh, the people that come and actually visit you when you visit me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm sure they all would love to do that, but, you know.
Oh, they're beautiful people. And then we still are enjoying the beauty of this TV that we've got.
Oh, yeah. How about that? I tell you what, Dad.
Oh, my God.
You got to be
so blessed,
hey,
you guys.
You got to be careful, because if you say anything that you're worried, like, let's say if you said, oh, man, my car is acting up, they're going to deliver a car.
No, I got time for well taken care of in that department.
Oh, yeah. These people, they mean business.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are. And they're just wonderful people. Let's put it this way. I just love the people. I love the city that you live in. And I definitely love you.
Well, thank you, Dad. I love you, too. And Joanne.
Oh. Yes.
All right, listen up. Michael writes this. Excuse me. Dear Meathead, I recently won a bet against my good friend. When I see him, I want to taunt him. This is Michael Ball writing this. I want to taunt him and rub it in his face. Can you give me some tips for winning graciously?
What was the problem that he wants to rub it on his face?
Well, I think what happened to him was he was in a race, like a foot race, a half marathon. And he won by a lot. Like, the guy that he beat was kind of a loser. And so then he won the race, and now he's, like, rubbing it in the guy's face. He's like, aha, I beat you. You're a fat ass. You know, stuff like that.
Well, if they're personal friends, they can kid each other, that's okay. But if they're not, and they're both serious about the winning, and they're going to rub it in, it might set a little, you know, hard feeling.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, the question I have is, then what does he gain by doing that?
I think he's just kind of, he might be the type of guy who,
satisfaction?
Yeah, he kind of like has to bring people down in order to make himself feel better. I think he's one of those guys, you know?
But here's the deal. It makes him feel good and make somebody else feel bad. Now, which one would you select, you know?
I think he'd probably like to feel good and make the other guy feel bad. That's what I think he'd like.
Unless he really wants to get rid of the friendship.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's just giving the guy a hard time.
Well, how about just say something to him personally? Hey, you know, buddy, I got your beat, you know. How do you like that? You know, something like that.
Okay, so you're...
And let it go, and that's a day. Hey, you know, laugh about it. Hey, you know, I beat you up. Hey,
okay, know. Okay, so I'm writing this down. I'll walk up to him and say, hey, I beat you. How'd you like that?
Well, now you're being strong about it. It's smart. Hey, buddy, do you remember that race? Well, I beat you. What do you think of that?
Oh, so you got to say it with a tone of voice.
Let's keep it with the two of you.
It's like, hey, I beat you. What do you think of that?
And tell him I'm working hard enough that I'll, again, we'll do that. I'm going to beat you again.
Okay.
You know, just make it fun out of it.
Dad, I got a question here from Adam. He writes, Dear Meathead. Who played a better cowboy, John Wayne or Clint Eastwood?
Oh, boy. I cannot really substantiate the difference of them. I think they both did a great job. No, I cannot select.
No, you're no vote. You got to think about that one.
Well, I care for both of them.
Uh-huh.
And each one of them
played a different role in that, whatever they did. I don't remember all
yeah,
of
I mean, it was,
both are just great, great actors.
I think they were from a different era of the John.
Clint Eastwood is great, really.
The John Wayne cowboy is different than the style of the Clint Eastwood cowboy.
That's correct. Absolutely correct.
Clint Eastwood cowboy, yeah. Like in the film The Unforgiven, is one of my favorite.
Sure.
He's more modern.
Yeah.
Joe Anthony, favorite performance. He's more modern. That's correct.
You know, he still acts.
Still great.
Did you know that Clint Eastwood still acts?
Yeah.
I can't believe him. What is he, 99 years old? He's on a gurney?
He is in his 90s. He makes you look like a spring chicken. He is 91 years old.
A lot of people should do that.
He's a 91 years old right now, and he just made a film this year called Cry Macho.
Yeah.
And it was it was horrible.
He's crying all right.
Oh, it was a stinker. It was so bad.
But, well, hey, these guys are history for me.
Yeah.
Just hope he gets to be the star.
Yeah, exactly. He gets to be the star. He looks horrible. Okay. Very good. Where am I going here? Okay, next question. Dear Meathead, with the colder weather here, can you give me some tips to make my house more energy efficient and comfortable? Because fuel costs are going to be high this year.
Yes, it is. According to Joanne, you ought to get an electric heater.
Electric heater, you say? Isn't the cost of electricity going to be part of that? I don't.
But there is no way out of it. Well, of course. Then you're going to pay for electricity then.
Yeah. What about the old plastic on the windows, Dad?
Yeah. No, I don't care for that.
No,
No, I secure the windows to be as sufficient as it can be. But I hate to cover up the plastic windows, put plastic on a window and all that.
How come? Why? It doesn't that keep the room warmer?
Yes.
Yes, it does. It kind of limits that. But I hate that all that gizmos hanging on by your window.
Oh, you don't see it?
She says, well, you don't see it. But if you put that thing around there, like if I put that in the front of my, this one window that we sit there and watch television.
Then
I can't see what's out there, really.
You can't even see right through it.
Yeah, it's not a it's not a blue tarp.
I know. Still, it messes up my view.
It helps.
It does help the heat.
Okay. I wrote down I hate all those gizmos hanging by the window.
Yes.
All right.
I'm at the crack of those windows, I can see the cars going by. Oh, well. I like to see that.
Maybe a little more insulation in the attic, Dad? I don't know. Maybe some of that...
My house is insulated.
Well, I know, but he's looking for tips on how to get the house warmer.
Yeah.
Well, just hanging all that curtain-looking thing.
Yeah.
It might do something. I mean, I'm sure it would do that. It would reduce the incoming or of the cold air.
Yeah.
You know.
I think he might have you stumped on this one, Dad. It sounds like you're struggling a little on this one.
I am. I'm really...
All right. Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh, my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay, and that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/video lock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/video lock. E-U-F-Y official.com/video lock. All right, Dad. Listen to this one. Aram writes, Dear Meathead, first of all, before I read his email, he's referencing something from years ago. Do you remember when I was at college and I was in that muscle pageant?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Okay. He said, Eric recently shared the video from that man pageant. What was your impression of his performance when you first saw it?
I couldn't believe you did that.
Oh, I can't believe it now.
Well, I mean, when you're young and youthful and something comes up in your mind and it's kind of strong in your mind, you do it and you have no embarrassment or nothing.
Ugh.
It's okay, but when you look at it later on in your real life,
yeah,
you're questioning your own ability of the things that you did.
Yes.
You know, according to Joanne, you looked handsome.
Yeah, but it was just, there was just so much wrong with it.
Remember the rose that
you
threw?
Yeah, I threw the rose. Here you go.
It was fun. Did it hit anybody when you threw that?
I don't know. It probably, yeah, a thorn probably actually entered someone's eye.
Eric, you have caused a lot of laughter.
Maybe, but my intention was not to get laughs. I thought that.
I know. You're trying to be a winner something, you know, whatever it was.
So bad.
But it was exciting to watch you do that because you had no embarrassment or nothing. That was. I thought you should have gone out there with your underwear.
Oh. So bad. Man.
Oh, really?
All right. Well, the audience sure gets a kick out of that. I actually shared, I got my hands on that video and I shared it with them. And now they once again, it makes the rounds every few years and they have once again been reminded about how ridiculous it is. And everybody's having a good laugh.
Well, hey, that was the thing to do in your mind, you know, so and you did it. Well. You know, as long as you do things that does not bother or cost or hurt anybody, it's cool.
Yeah, I guess. As long as they had a good time. But, man, I felt like a jerk. All right.
Well, hey. It gave me a lot of chuckles.
Yes, it sure did. I could hear you screaming in the background. You have people, if they listen carefully when they watch that video, they can actually hear you. So you're going, hey, come on, guys. So that was what? How many years ago? That was 90, so 2000 to 10. So that was 31 years ago.
Oh, my God.
So that would make you 56. Wow. 56-year-old dad. Which is just a handful of years older than what I am now.
Wow. Remarkable.
Hey, by the way, I got to show you a picture when I come see you. I've got a picture that I actually found I was telling the audience about this. When I was a baby, you and mom, well, pretty much mom, had a baby book, okay? Like with, you know, you write down the milestones and maybe put pictures in it and stuff like that. I found that book, and in that book, it's a picture. There's a picture of my mother holding me next to my brother, Michael. And it says, August 21, 1970, Eric's first trip to Grayling.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. My 34-year-old mother is at, like, by the where the fire pit is, sitting there. I'm like, oh, my God, this is incredible. That's the first time I've
ever. How did you come up with that picture?
My mother, not long before she got sick, she gave me that book. And so I've got that book. So that's that picture. It's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'll show that. I'll show you that picture. It's just pretty cool to see that we're on the property, that long. What year did you buy the property again? When it had all the trees on it and you had clear the land?
I can't remember.
Well, I mean, if that's 1970, it had to be sometime in the 1960s. I'm guessing.
The only memory that I have of that property when we bought it was we had a camper trailer.
Yeah.
It was a little thing.
Yeah, like
we all slept in it.
Yeah, it was like I remember you describing it as a pop-up camper.
It was a pop-up camper. There was nothing else. We went there. There was no trailer. You didn't have that trailer there.
Right.
And we were cutting trees and clearing up and trying to make it livable. And there was, as you entered your property,
yeah,
the driveway, I mean, there was nothing.
Right.
There was like 1, 2, 3 trees in a row all the way down to where your trailer is.
Right, right. Dad, I'm trying to pinpoint this. I'm going to ask Mike about when he started to go up there, because Mike was 12 years old in this picture. So maybe he can shed some light on it.
And then I start cutting those trees down.
Right.
Huh. I cut every one of those trees to make it a whole road, which took me God knows how long.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Holy crap. I can't even imagine that area being just full of trees that you had to bring down. Holy cow.
I mean, it was 3 trees. As you drive into that property,
yeah,
and it's down that hill. Like,
yeah. How many?
Three rows of trees going all the way up to where the trailer is.
How many people and dogs did you kill cutting down those trees?
No, and listen, we hired this one guy, Gowdy, Jim Gowdy.
Yeah.
He and we're at the your property ends and then go into the woods.
Correct.
He trenched a deep trench. And we put all of those woods that I cut in there, we burned it. We burned it for days to get rid of all those logs.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you, well, I don't remember it. I remember you telling me about that.
We really paid a piper to work in that joint. Wow. Well, you're enjoying it now.
I'm writing this down because I like to write down your meatheadisms. We really paid the piper to get that joint.
Yes. And then that one area that you and I just cut it, which didn't need to be cut. All we got to do is pull it out. You remember when I was there last time with you?
Yeah, yeah. Easy work. It was all rotted out.
You couldn't budge that thing. It was a big tree there.
Dad, I
cut it down and the log... Tell you, I know it's stuck in the ground. I didn't have the equipment to go down any further. The stump. And the stump rotted, and then we finally, you and I just dug it up.
That's exactly right. It was a team effort, Dad.
Yeah. Rotted wood.
All right, Dad, I got one more question for you.
All right, lay it on me.
Dear Meathead, Joe writes, I hope you are doing well. I have a dear friend who used to do great athletic events, but he is now eating himself into obesity and diabetes after a devastating loss in a foot race. He has anger issues, so I don't want to get beat up. What can I tell my friend so he starts making healthier choices and we stay friends? Thank you. I love you, Joanne and Ruben.
Well, that really is a very heavy-duty issue for a person. Willpower is a strong tool to possess, to discipline yourself to do or not to do something, you know.
Yeah.
He is, number one, he's got to get rid of the weight. And that's not an easy task. He's got to be strong enough person to do that. But you know what? The reward is so great. It'll take you 2 to 3 years to get rid of it. And, you know, I've never been an overweight person. So I can't really...
Well, you were a little, maybe at one point.
A little overweight somewhat.
Yeah, no big deal.
You got to respect your own body. Excuse me. You got to reduce or almost limit the intake of your food to get rid of that weight. Weight and diabetes go together. And it's killing you. Believe you me, if you can add 10 to 15 more years to your life by quitting it, please do that. And it's not the end that I can give you an advice, except like, advice to give you a willpower. Give yourself the willpower to be mad enough or woman enough to quit taking down all the food that you can. Get yourself away from a table when you're having your lunch and dinners. Believe you me, it increases your life. All you're doing is killing yourself slowly and slowly, faster and faster.
All right. I'm looking back. That was a lot, Dad.
Yes.
Let's see.
I'm saying that from my heart. Because I know when you are... in that position, you just, I guess you don't care.
You
just
yeah.
keep shoveling the food in your mouth.
You wrote, it's a heavy duty issue for a person.
Yes.
And then you wrote, willpower is a strong tool to possess.
Yes. Then so he has to create that to possess it.
Yeah. You got to respect your own body, you said. And then you said, weight and diabetes go together.
Yeah.
As well as advice to give you willpower. Be a man enough to quit taking down all the food you can.
That's right.
That sounds good.
From a table as
yes.
soon as you can.
You got to be a man enough to quit taking down all the food you can.
That's right.
That one's my favorite. You know?
Well... hey, I think I gave him good advice.
I think you did too. Yeah, are you kidding me? You always give good advice.
There's no medicine for that. You are the medicine.
That's right.
All right, Dad, you have crushed it again, and I can't say enough how much everybody loves you and Joanne, and I want you to have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you in a couple days.
All right, and I love it too, honey, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to the people that you have because they are wonderful people. And occasionally, like I just did, I'd like to give that the advice that I think is possible.
Oh, that, yeah, that's what you're here for. That's why they ask you these questions. They love the advice.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I love the opportunity.
Okay. Well, you guys have a good one, and I'll see you. We'll see you in a few days, all right?
I'm looking forward to that. Come on down.
Okay. I'll talk to you then.
I love you, honey.
Love you guys.
Love you, sweetheart.
Yes, sir. Likewise. See you, Joanne.
Bye, honey.
All righty. See you,
bye.
Guys. All right. There you go. Bye-bye.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, don't.